said.
What happened? 38 or 39 years of leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And at the end, he missed God's best. He walked the land in between, but not successfully. I mean, he saw victories, incredible works of God. Manna from heaven, the seas parting, wonderful victories at war. And yet at the end of the day, Moses missed God's best in his life. The land in between addresses what took place from the land of Egypt when they left, and the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness before they entered into the promised land. See, Moses walked the land between, but he didn't learn the lessons of the land in between. And because of that, he missed God's best in his life. There was a warning that was given to us. Remember, that's where we started back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all possessed, that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert." Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. When I started this study, I was convinced that I was going to uncover some great spiritual truths, things that I could stand up here in front of you and thunder, "Thus saith the Lord." I just knew that I was going to find some deep hidden spiritual truths that I would be able to kind of unearth and to kind of dig out of the passage here. And I was going to be able to share them with you and say, those are the things you need to pay attention to. Those are the deep spiritual truths that you need to embrace in order to be able to successfully navigate the land between. And everyone would say, "Wow, so brilliant, so smart." But the more that I studied the land in between, the more familiar I became with the events that the children of Israel walked through, I began to get this really sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. And the scary truth began to be very clear, so obvious. It isn't the big things that sidetrack us, that wreck us spiritually. Well, that happens. Occasionally we get just completely sidelined by something really huge in our life. But that's not what shipwrecked the vast majority, and that's not what got Moses. It is those small things of life. The small character flaws that go unaddressed. Those small besetting sins that live with us week in and week out, and that we almost become comfortable with, that we learn how to navigate around, that we just simply allow to live in our heart and in our life. Song of Solomon says it to us this way: "Catch for us the foxes." Look at this. "The little foxes that ruin the vineyards." When the grapes are young and very, very tender, there's a particular kind of fox there in that area of the world that loves to come into the vineyard at night. And they're small foxes. You look at them and you go, they can't eat very much. But those small, tiny little animals, night after night, week after week, gnaw away, nibble away, and end up ruining the harvest. The more I studied, the more I became convinced, and the more terrified, literally, in my own life I became, because I'm looking at Moses and I see these things that happen in Moses' life, and I realize all of a sudden, wait a second, you know, what sidelined Moses, it wasn't some immorality issue. It wasn't that he stole from the treasury of the temple. It wasn't that he did any of those huge, large, you know, significant things that we all go, oh, that disqualifies you for ministry. That makes you opt out. That moves you to the sideline. That shipwrecks you. That's not what got him. You know what got Moses? You know what put him up on the mountain looking at God's best and not being able to go in and own it? Grumbling. An impulsive tongue. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but to a guy that likes to grumble and mumble and complain sometimes when things don't go my way, that terrifies me. Because you see, we all have those little character flaws in our life that we just learn to live with. We just go, you know, it's not so bad. You know, I'll create some kind of work around here. And I'll learn how to go beyond this. And God will understand. And it will be okay. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, please, to Numbers chapter 20. Because in Numbers chapter 20, we see Moses and a moment in time, snapshot, that costs him God's best in his life. Now let me set the stage for where we are here. We are somewhere between 38 and 39 years into the wilderness wandering. They've been at this for a while now. They have been going around and around and around over and over and over again. This is not the first time that they've had problem with water. This is about the third time. At least the third time that's recorded. It's very possible that there were other instances. And God has provided for them every time. He's provided food. He's provided protection. He's provided water. He's provided security. He's provided everything that they need. But the people have this unrelenting desire to continue to moan and groan and carry on. And so we get 38 or 39 years into the wilderness wandering. And I think Moses has had about all he can stand. And so the scripture says to us in verse 1, in the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses, and they said, now this is going to come as the chorus to a song they've been singing for 38 years. Right? This is like 99 bottles of beer on the wall. It never stops. You know, on one of those long trips, you just keep singing it and singing it. And singing it. It just never goes away. For 38 years, they've been singing this song. They haven't stopped yet. If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community in this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs or grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. They've been singing this song for 38 years, Paul. They haven't quit yet. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting, and they fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, take the staff. Now pay attention to what God tells Moses to do, because it's going to be very important in the story. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that their livestock can drink. Now, what did God tell Moses to do? Speak to the rock. Now, this is the second time that they've been in this situation with no water. Some people think this is exactly the same place that they were before in Kadesh. That not only is this the second time that they've been in this situation, but it's the second time they've been in this place. The first time, God told Moses, take his staff and what? Strike the rock. This time, God says to him a very different thing. He says to him, speak to the rock, and the rock will bring forth water for the community and for the livestock. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. And he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? We who? Moses and Aaron. Then Moses raised his arm and he struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where He showed Himself holy among them. A couple of mistakes that Moses made that day. Number one was disobedience. Don't miss that. We talked about obedience last week. Move when God says move. Stay when God says stay. God said, speak to the rock. Moses did not do that. He thought there was a better way. And so he took matters into his own hands, and he struck the rock. Keep in mind, obedience is a big deal to God. He wants us to move when He says move, and He wants us to stop when we say stop. He wants us to do the things that He tells us to do. We are not dealing with an equal. We are not negotiating with a peer. We are humbling ourselves before the Creator of the universe. There is a difference. Secondly, Moses grumbled. Look what he said. Listen, you rebels. Listen, you bunch of jerks. Don't you know that you need to stop this? Don't you know that you need to just quit complaining? We've been doing this for 38 years. Enough is enough. Moses has finally reached his breaking point. There's an account in Psalm 106 of this event. And what the psalmist says is this. It says, Moses spoke in rash words. Came out of his mouth. It's not the first time. Moses has been doing this ever since he first met God. Go back some time and look at Exodus chapter 3. We won't do that for time's sake this morning. But at the very first time at the burning bush, when God spoke to Moses and he said, Moses, I want you to lead my people and I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to speak to him and say, let my people go. You know what Moses did? He said, you know what, God, I'm just not so sure about that. Who should I say sent me? You know, I don't speak very well. You know, I'm not very eloquent. I just don't think I can do that. Do you know really what happened? He has like 6 or 8 different excuses at that very first encounter with God, and it never stops. Go back and look over and over and over and over again. One time in the wilderness, he looks at God and he says, you know what, why'd you put me here in charge of all these people? Did I give birth to them? Are they my kids? They're not my kids. Why do I have to deal with them? Why don't you just kill me and take me out of this process? Sick of this. Moses grumbled. You get a group of pastors together sometimes, and And they say some really negative things. Sometimes they go, you know what, ministry wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for all those people. And you look at them and you go, wait a second, people are your ministry. That's what you do. If you don't like people, then you shouldn't be doing this. Moses grumbled. Moses did not point people to God. God said, speak to that rock, verse 8, before their eyes. Demonstrate my power before them. He didn't point people to God. He pointed people towards himself and towards Aaron. God said, here's what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to glorify me. I want you to lift me up. I want you to honor me. I want you to point people toward me. I want you to speak to that rock. And that's all it's going to take. And the people will know. When you call upon my name, and when you exalt me, and when you lift me up in their eyes, and you make me holy before them, then they will know that I am their God and that I provide for them. Moses didn't point people toward God. Must we, Aaron and I, bring you water from the rock? Moses assumed that God always work the same way. It's called the seven last words of the church, right? We've never done it that way before. God's going to work the same way today that He did the last time. No, God works in different ways. It's one of the reasons we're reformatting our celebration dinner. It wasn't necessarily bad. It wasn't necessarily wrong. God's done some wonderful things with it. We just feel like there's a better way of doing it, that God wants to speak to our heart in a new way and in a better way and in a different way this year. So we're going to look at something new and something different. See, Moses made the mistake of assuming that because last time he struck the rock, this time he should strike the rock. And he was wrong. God had very clearly told him something different. And most importantly, he did not acknowledge God. Verse 10, you should highlight that. You should circle that in your Bible. Must we? Just a little note here. Don't ever put yourself in the position of assuming the glory of God and His place, His rightful place in your life or someone else's life. A bunch of jerks. Thirsty again. Not a problem. Me and Aaron will take care of it for you. He missed it. Must we bring you water from the rock? He allowed himself to think that he was the one who was doing the work, that he was the one that was spiritually responsible, that he was the one that was spiritually going to take care of the people. And we're just the under-shepherd. The leader is just the under-shepherd. There's a true shepherd somewhere else. And we simply follow his direction and his instructions. You see, what God said to Moses was this. He said, you didn't do what I told you to do. Instead of honoring me, instead of being obedient to me, instead of following my direction, you chose to take matters into your own hands. You chose to do what you wanted to do instead of what I told you to do. You chose to honor and to glorify yourself rather than me. And because of that, you're not going to enter the land. Now, I don't know about you, but that frightens me. 38 or 39 years of getting it right. And then this character flaw that has been present with him all along raises its ugly head one more time. And there are these series of circumstances that come together to cause him to do the wrong thing. I'm not blaming the circumstances, but there's three elements that really come together. It's like this meeting of minds. It's like this conflagration of bad events. And then all of a sudden he finds himself in trouble. Three things, and these three things, you want to pay attention to them very closely because they're the same things that are in your life. Okay, first of all, there are the people. Okay? There are the people. They're unrelenting complaints. They never stop. Their unrelenting disobedience, their failure to follow God, and their failure to follow Moses. For 40 years, they have sung the same song. Moses, why'd you bring us out here in the desert? Because there aren't any graves in Egypt. Moses, why'd you bring us out here in the desert to die? There's no water. Moses, why did you bring us out here in the desert to die? There's no food. Moses, why did you bring us out here in the desert to die? There's some Egyptians. Moses, why did you bring us out here in the desert to die? There's some Amalekites. Moses, why did you bring us out here in the desert to die? We haven't got the kind of food that we want. We remember the leeks and the onions and the garlics, and we could sit there. We could eat all that we wanted there in Egypt. Moses, why did you bring us out here in the desert to die? And for 40 years, they sang that song. Now, here's the thing that you got to know about people. Okay? You just got to know about people. And if this upsets you, I'm sorry. They don't ever change. If you spend your life waiting for them to stop the complaining, then you end up just like Moses. Because guess what? People are people. They're not going to change. God's the only one that changes people. So if you're saying to yourself, okay, sooner or later, the people are going to change, and then it'll be okay. Wrong answer. You might as well learn how to deal with it. Because they're going to be who they are. The second thing that you need to pay attention to are the circumstances. Moses was tired and he was worn out. For 40 years, he's been leading. For 40 years, it's been one challenge, it has been one struggle, it has been one difficulty, it has been one problem after the other. And here, 40 years into it, he's right back in Kadesh. He's right back at the rock. He's right back there. And 40 years later, there's still no water. The circumstances have not changed. Here's spiritual reality number two. They're not going to. If you say to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to get through this one. It's going to be better. It's going to be okay. And then everything will even out and everything will calm down. And next week or next month or next year, it'll be better. Guess what? Next week or next month or next year, that one might be gone. But guess what? There's another. You know what they call it? Life. It's life. It is. And when you say to yourself, okay, next week it'll be better. Next month I'm going to get through this and then everything will even out and everything will calm down and everything will fall into place. Yeah, maybe. But if it does, something else will fall apart. And I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just telling you that we live in a fallen world. And you are setting yourself up for disappointment if you think that sooner or later it's going to get better. Because for them it was desert and it was heat and it was rebellion and it was struggle. You ever find yourself saying that? You ever find yourself saying, I can't do this? If I have to say this or if I have to do this or if I have to go through this one more time, I'm going to scream. If I have to deal with this one more time, I'm just going to punch somebody. I've just had all I can stand. I can't do anymore. I'm done. No, you're not. You may be at the end of your rope, but you're not at the end of God's. He can carry you through. But you see, the problem was you had the people dealing that Moses was dealing with on one side, and then you have the circumstances that he was dealing with on the other. But then the critical part is what was going on in Moses' heart and his little character flaw. This little small thing of grumbling. Not that big a deal, right? I mean, everybody's got to have a little pet sin somewhere. I'm not drinking that much. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not over there. It's not a big thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a, you know, it's not a terrible thing. There's just one little thing that I kind of nurture and protect and keep going, you know, in my life. And there's one little sin that I kind of give myself a pass on. There's just one little character flaw. It's been with him forever. Go back and read The Land in Between. Go back and read Exodus, and go back and read Numbers, and go back and read Deuteronomy, and look at what happened in Moses' life. And this little thing has been working its way into his life over and over and over again. He's been arguing with God at every turn. Now, here, just a little parenthetically, there's a little irony here. Because Moses is constantly whining and moaning and complaining about the people. You know what he's whining and moaning and complaining about the people? He's whining and moaning and complaining that the people are always whining and moaning and complaining. Kind of ironic, isn't it? They say this. They say when you pastor a church, after 2 or 3 years, if you want to know where the problems come from, just go look in the mirror. Because people follow their leader. They become like the one who leads them. And the people of Israel, just like Moses. And you see, these three things come together. The people who are just doing what people do. And the circumstances that are just life. And Moses' own little inclination on the inside to grumble, to be impulsive, like when he came down from the top of the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and the people broke them before he got back down, and he took them and he threw them down and he broke them. That little impulsiveness that he's got, that little grumbling attitude and spirit that he's got. And in an unguarded moment, God said, speak to the rock. And the people's grumbling, the situation was bad, and the stuff on the inside, and it all came together. And Moses took that staff, and he just whacked a couple of times, and he said, you bunch of rebels, do Aaron and I have to continue to put up with your junk and bring you water from the rock? And in that unguarded moment, after 38 years, it all came together. And it cost him God's best. And that should terrify you, because it does me. Because guess what? We all have those things, don't we? We all have the people. That's just people. We all have the circumstances. That's just life. And we all have, the old Puritans used to call it, the besetting sin. Those things on the inside that we just can't seem to shake, we can't seem to get rid of. And given the right circumstances and the right kind of people, and then our own character flaw, it all comes together. And I have this image that Ron read for us this morning of Moses in my mind's eye, standing up on top of the mountain, and he's seeing the land, the promised land. And he never possesses it because of an unguarded moment and because of a character flaw that he never addressed. So I want to give you a plan for change this morning. Okay? Write them down. Write them down. Because they are important. Number one, you can change with God's help. Yes, you can. be transformed, Romans says, by the renewing of your mind. Be changed from one thing to another. You can change. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Trust God to give you strength when the temptation comes. There is no mistake that when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the passage of Scripture that this whole entire series is kind of based on, where Paul is saying to us, listen, I want to give you a warning. I want you to understand that the things that happen to them there in the land in between are warnings for us. You need to pay attention to them. He closes that paragraph in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with this passage of Scripture. So if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Listen to me. What happened to Moses was not inevitable. It was not God's choice. It was Moses' failure. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful in that He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but He will with the temptation provide a way of escape so that you may stand up under it. The very first Bible verse I memorized 30-some, 40-some years ago was that one. Hide it in your heart. Trust God to give you the strength when temptation comes. Study the Scripture to learn about your sin and the cure for it. It's amazing that when you take a look at Jesus in the wilderness when He was being tempted by Satan, much of what He quotes is from this passage of Scripture here in Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone. Sound familiar? Study the Scripture. Find those passages that deal with the issues that you struggle with. And hide them in your heart. Make a specific plan to change your actions. Look for a way to do something differently. Psalm 17 says, I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. Literally, I have made a plan to keep myself from sin. I have made a plan. Moses would have done well to resolve that his mouth would not sin, wouldn't he? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, the grumbling, if we want to go back and peel it back, and we want to take a look at where it comes from an ungrateful heart toward God. It comes from a lack of trust toward God. That's where it comes from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Seek help from God and from others. It's the story of Moses on the top of the mountain while the children of Israel are down, Joshua leading them against the Amalekites down in the valley. And as long as his hands are raised up before God, the children of Israel are winning the battle. When they get tired and they come down, they begin to lose. And so he gets Aaron on one side, Hur on the other, and they hold up his arms in prayer. And the children of Israel are victorious. You need God and you need people. Particularly when you're dealing with one of those besetting sins. Seek help from God and others. You need prayer and you need accountability. Practice what is right, both in the area of the sin that you're dealing with and in other areas of ministry. Invest yourself in the things that God calls you to. Not just trying to stay away from something. If you just say, I want to stay away, I want to stay away, I want to stay away, that's not going to be necessarily helpful. You need to find those things that God is calling you to. You need to find the replacement. If you go back and you look at Ephesians, it talks about if you have been speaking things that are not helpful, instead speak things that edify, speak things that encourage, speak things that build people up. Replace the bad habit, the bad behavior with a good one. Practice what is right, both in the area of the sin and in other areas. Avoid temptation. If you know where the triggers are, if you know where the issues are, if you know where the struggles are, most of us do when we're dealing with that besetting sin. Make a plan that precludes that. That's why Jesus prayed, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Give us the courage, give us the wisdom to walk away from that. Deal with one day at a time. If you go, I'm not going to deal with this the whole rest of my life. From now, forever going forward, I'm never going to do this again. That's too big. Just go today. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Today. today, God, with your help, I'm going to honor you one day at a time. I was at an AA meeting a couple months ago, and people were talking about it, and somebody was celebrating a year of sobriety, and somebody else got up to speak, and they said, you know, we were in the little church fellowship hall, and they said, you know, just remember when you leave here that sin is waiting out in the parking lot doing push-ups waiting for you. I thought, yeah, that's about right. It's in the parking lot doing push-ups. He's just waiting for you to come out. It just building itself up, getting ready. You know, here he comes. Okay, we're ready now. Deal with one day at a time. Be patient with yourself and the change you are making. Listen to what Galatians says. Do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. In due season we will reap the harvest of righteousness if we do not lose heart. You look at that and you say, wow, that's a lot of work. Man, that's going to be hard to do all that stuff. Yeah, it is. I would just encourage you to do this. Go back and read Deuteronomy. And Moses died there on the mount and was gathered to his people. 40 years, and in an unguarded moment, he paid a terrible price. Yes, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot less than picking up the pieces of the shipwreck. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have. And though the passage is very sobering, though it is one that is, for me anyway, scary, and God, I pray that you will give us the wisdom to hear your word and to change. To hear your word and embrace it. And allow you to do in our heart and in our life what you want to do. God, help us to be different than Moses. Missing your best. Seeing it, but never possessing it. In Jesus' name we pray.